Praise the Lord. Well, it really is good to be together again, and we need to remember Susan Coy as well. She's struggling physically right at the moment. And thanks for continually praying for Kathy, and as we leave on Monday, we really need a miracle. So, but thank you. As the Lord hears your cry and raises us up, I appreciate the prophetic word tonight that gave us great encouragement that no matter what darkness we're walking through, hallelujah, as greater is the light to dispel the darkness. And that's why it says, arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I wonder if you're turning your Bibles tonight to the Song of Solomon. I'm actually going to continue with the theme that we were on, and I didn't expect that's what we were going to do, but I just want to continue in there because I still believe that, as we saw in Jacob, that Benjamin could not be born in Jacob. He had to have a transformation in his life to Israel in order for Benjamin to be born, and that touch in the birthing of Benjamin was the full revelation of Joseph, because Joseph was not fully revealed to the brethren until Benjamin appeared. And just trying to refresh your memory. And but do you remember what Joseph said to the brethren when they came up? He said to them, you will not see my face again unless your brother be with you. So Jacob, in the birthing of Benjamin, it was the full revelation of Joseph. And then we saw how that Jacob's whole household was delivered from idolatry. His whole household was cleansed and purified. And we also saw that there was a tremendous reconciliation took place between Jacob and Esau. And the whole thing happened because there was a touch. And I continually pray that this incoming year, 2018, will be a year when we'll be living under the touch of His hand. Hallelujah. And what we've been through and what we've gone through will be behind us. And 2017 wasn't such a great year if you looked at it naturally. But the growth and development in the Spirit is what we're after, not what we're going through naturally. And so I'm going to go into Song of Solomon tonight. And of course, Song of Solomon is the most intimate book in the Bible. I think if you agree with that, you can give me a wave. I just want to make sure you're there. Song of Solomon is to me, it's the most intimate book in the Bible. But in order to understand it, we always have to keep it in the realm of the Spirit. So I always have to see what God's doing in the Spirit, because as I see what God's doing in the Spirit, Song of Solomon speaks to me from the day and hour I was born again to the day and hour I get fully married to Him. And everything else is the development of an intimacy between the Shulamite and Solomon. And so everything is in between is a development of that life together. And so Song of Solomon, I believe, is the most intimate book in the Bible. And it gives us an understanding or a revelation of how to develop and allow this relationship to grow. Because no matter how many years we've been married, your marriage is still growing. Is that right, John? Thank you. I'm glad you're nodding your head. Eric's too young to know it yet. But the longer you go, the deeper the level of understanding of what love really is. Because when I first got married, I didn't really know what love was. And It wasn't until I came to Jesus, then I began to understand it a little bit. But God wants to bring us to the fullness of love. And because love is the perfect bond. So a Song of Solomon is a development of a relationship. And it starts off in verse 1 of chapter 1. And it says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And some people interpret that, and some translations bring it out as the revelation of revelation, which is Solomon's. So, and then he goes on and he says, it says this, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now that's touch. Yeah, you can. Kathy keeps telling me, don't look for a response. But that's touch. And what it really means, what it really is for us, is when it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, it's really the impartation of his word. And when it's him imparting his word into you, it's like him breathing his breath of life in you. So your relationship with the Lord, and most relationships begin with a kiss. And that relationship never ceases. Everybody should say, I'm glad. But that relationship never decreases. That relationship is right there to the very end. And so when it says, let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth, she then goes on and says, for thy love is better than wine. Now, that's just an introduction that she's had of taste and see that the Lord is good. And boy, we could sure say amen tonight to that. He said, because thy love is better than wine. In other words, what I've experienced by tasting and seeing the Lord and experienced the impartation of his word into my spirit, because when he breathed in me, I was really dead. I had an existence, but I was really dead. Spiritually, I was dead. And it wasn't until that kiss took place, or that impartation took place, led me to a place where what I had just received was far greater than what I had already experienced. And so, we can see it says, because of the savor of thy good ointments, and then thy name is like ointment poured forth. I think it's a wonderful thing that we would know his name. I mean, the whole book of Ruth is about, in chapter 2 in the book of Ruth, is about the development of beginning to know the man. And you can read it there for yourself, but it says that thy name is like ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. And then she says, we will make haste. And then it says, the king hath brought me into his chambers. And then she goes on again, and it says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, and the upright love thee. Now once she had begun to go through this initial experience of salvation, and once she had begun to taste and see that the Lord was good, immediately her response is, I'm black. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I know that I didn't know I was black until I met the Lord. And it was only after my initial experience, which was really a radical change, and I don't want to go there tonight, but I just lay, the night I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just lay from 1 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning and watched my own deliverance. And you say, well, how did that happen? Well, when I went to go to bed that night, because I get saved at 12:02, and when I went to bed, I was just lying in bed, and then all of a sudden I heard this voice on the right-hand side of me, and then another voice on the left-hand side of me. And then I heard this voice on the right hand saying, you have to let him go. And this voice on the left hand side said, I'm not letting him go because I've had him for a long time. And then this voice on the right hand side would say to the other voice, yeah, you've got to go because he's now mine. And I would watch this thing come in out of my body, and I would watch it disappear out of the window. Well, I wasn't afraid. I was petrified. But I lay there from 1 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning and watched this repeatedly happen. Until when I got up in the morning, I knew that I was changed. I knew that I was born again. I knew that I had an initial experience with God, and I knew the difference in my life straight away. So many things just went. I didn't even try to get rid of them. They just went. And so it's like the prophecy tonight. I don't care how much darkness you're in. It's not too dark for the Lord to reach in and bring that light and bring your deliverance. And so her initial experience then caused her to say, I'm black, but I'm comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. And she says, like the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon. And when she says, like the tents of Kedar, well, Kedar was Ishmael's second born. And if you look and check her up, you'll realize in Genesis you'll find it. And you'll realize that every one of Ishmael's sons always had a connotation of darkness associated with it. So Ishmael had 12 sons as well. But when you go down them all, it brings us to the epitome of darkness. And so she says, like the tents of Kedar, they're so dark. But it speaks to us of being in the carnal realm. And like the curtains of Solomon, which is the righteousness of God. And so she says, look not upon me because I'm black. Because the sun has looked upon me, and my mother's children were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And that can be something that can happen to you and me. We're so busy trying to keep somebody else's vineyard and forget about keeping our own. And God wants us to come into this divine relationship with him. And then in verse 8, we see how Solomon replies to her. It says, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women. Hallelujah. Man, I love that. Even in spite of her connotation of herself, I'm black, but there's something in me that can be redeemed. That's what comely means. In the light and the glory of God, we're dark. We're black. But there's something in us that can be redeemed. And so then it says in, well, let me jump over a few verses here. Because where this initial experience brings you and me to, as well as the Shulamite, put yourself in the Shulamite's place tonight. And so, where that experience brings her to is while the king sitteth at his table. So immediately it brings her to the table of the Lord. And I love that tonight. Because the table becomes the centrality of fellowship and communion. Can I say that again? The table actually becomes the focal point of fellowship and communion. And your initial experience with the kisses of his mouth brought you into a fellowship and a communion with him. So while the king sitteth at the table, my spikenard sendeth forth the fragrance thereof. In other words, she's refreshed and she's restored. And then it says, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved. Unto me he shall lie all night between my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of henna flowers in the vineyards of En-Jedi. And then here's Solomon responding again. After she's been at the table, a bundle of myrrh, the crucified life. And it says in verse 15, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." Man, I always marvel at the way God sees us. Oh boy, I'm going to say that again. I always marvel at the way God sees us. And that she's entered into that realm of fellowship and communion with him. And then the Shulamite speaks. Look at the response. He says in 15, "Boy, you sure are fair." And in verse 16, she's speaking now, and it says, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, also our bed is green." If there's one message that Kathy Owens ever preached from this pulpit at a convention some years ago, it's this verse of Scripture. Everywhere I go, somebody will come up to her and just say to her, "I still remember your tape from Shepherd's Inn. On your bed is green." Hallelujah. And I could ask myself tonight. You could ask yourself tonight. Because here she's saying, our bed is green. Come on, what does that really mean for us tonight? It's flourishing. It's full of life. It's full of vitality. It's full of union. It's alive. It's vibrant. That's why I'm saying tonight, keep your relationship, keep this whole thing in the realm of the Spirit tonight, because we could ask ourselves tonight, through our initial experience with the Lord, is it still vibrant? You know, in my 25 years of pastoring and pastoral counseling, in 25 years of doing that, I can always remember that marriages that broke up after 25, 30 years and 40 years always went back to unresolved issues. I'm hoping that'll help some of you young folks tonight. Not to have any unresolved issues. Well, that's what she's saying here. "Lord, my fellowship with you has delivered me from every issue I ever had." Because you see, if you don't deal with the issue, there'll always be an issue. I'm meddling. So she says, "Yea, pleasant also, our bed is green." So it was full of vitality, it was full of life, it was full of union, and it was alive and real. See, if your relationship in the natural is not growing, if your relationship in the natural, one with another, is not growing, you will stagnate. And God doesn't want us a stagnated pool. So he wants our whole life to be current and vibrant. And then look what else in verse 15 it brings her to. "The beams of our house." Hallelujah. Come on, I think right here it's delivered her from a little bit of self-centeredness. Jesus left us such an example when he said, if you want to follow me, he says, the first thing you do is you have to what? Yeah, I knew you would know the scripture. He said, the first thing that you have to do is deny yourself. Well, true love will always bring you to a place of self-denial. "The beams of our house are cedar." Hallelujah. They're incorruptible. "And our rafters are fir," evergreen. Yeah, so That's where your initial experience should have brought you to. Now, if your initial experience hasn't brought you there, God wants to restore the years that the locust has eaten, the years of the canker worm, the palmer worm. He wants to restore. He's a God that restores. He's a God that recovers. He's a God that reconciles. He's a God of revival. And so you can see then by that first touch, what it brought her into was a flourishing relationship with the Lord, with the King Solomon, in other words. But for you and me, what our initial experience did for us was bring us into a personal, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess I'm doing this to encourage us not to let that go. And if it's not there, there's something we can do about it to get back into that vibrant relationship. Because here in chapter 2, it says this. I'll just jump to verse 3. As the apple tree among the tree of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Come on, saints, would you say that's another touch? Yeah, because this is your initial experience in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this would be a good time to do it. 2018. And he says, I sat down under his shadow. Now, if you sat down under his shadow, come on, you can talk to me tonight, but if you sat down under his shadow, where would that leave you? In the light of the tabernacle experience, and you are the tabernacle of God. And the tabernacle was pitched in the wilderness so that God would have a dwelling place amongst his people. Hallelujah. So he's chosen you for his dwelling place. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Mansions is a bad transcript. But in my Father's house are many dwelling places, many abodes. You just happen to be one of the abodes that's in Father's house so that you become one of the dwelling places. And so, if you were brought under his shadow and in the light of the tabernacle, where would that bring you to? Where would you be if you were under his shadow? Come on, there's only one place he said he would commune with you. And it wasn't in the outer court, and it wasn't in the holy place. It was the holy in the holy of holies at the mercy seat. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, hallelujah, come on, Psalm 91, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So where does God want you dwelling tonight? Under the shadow of the Almighty, because where you really are is in his presence. There's natural light in the outside. There's the light of the candlestick in the holy place. But there's the light of the glory of God in the Holy of Holies. And this is where he's encouraging her to come to now. And this is another touch. And it says that she was under the shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Hallelujah. Come on, says, if you get nothing else out of that tonight, know that God has an experience for you and I to go through that increases our revelation, understanding, and relationship with him. He's deepening your relationship. I don't care how many years you've walked with the Lord, he still has to deepen your relationship. And so he says, she says this then, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And she says, sustain me with cakes of raisins, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Listen to verse 6. Boy, if this is not touched, somebody will have to explain it to me. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Hallelujah. Come on, that's pretty close contact. But can I just say to you tonight, your initial baptism in the Holy Spirit brought you into the place where you were joined to the Lord. And them that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. They're not two entities looking for joining place. Hallelujah. Them who are joined to the Lord are one spirit, and his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. This is what Proverbs says. Length of days is in his right hand, in her right hand. In her left hands are riches and honor, and a place of security and strength and intimacy. Hallelujah. Come on, that's quite an intimate embrace. And that's the kind of touch that he wants to put on our lives. Come on, when somebody's got you in that kind of position, it's pretty hard to break loose. Hello? I asked you right at the beginning to keep this thing in the realm of the Spirit. Because God wants to get a hold of his people. And he wants his people to be secure in that relationship. You would be amazed at how many people, after walking with the Lord X amount of numbers of years, that are still not secure in their salvation. And you need to be secure in God. I don't know if I said it last weekend or not, but Sister Irene Conrad had a very, very short, did I mention it? She had a very, very short word of prophecy, and this was it. Those who are rooted and grounded in love will stand. And God is working in your life and my life, and you've all been through enough to know that we're not runners. You've stood through the test of time. You're here because you're still standing. But nevertheless, God wants to bring us to that place where we can feel that security of that embrace of the Spirit. Come on, I need to be secure. I need to be like the old songwriter. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heirs of salvation, purchased by God. Born of his Spirit, thank you. Washed in his blood. I need to be secure in that. I need to be secure in the realm of the Spirit. So here's where it leads to. It says in verse 10, my beloved spoke. This is the Shulamite reporting what Solomon had said to her. My beloved spoke and said unto me. Hallelujah. This might be for somebody in here tonight. My beloved spoke. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and he said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 11, for though the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds have come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land. Listen to this. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give forth fragrance. Then again, he repeats it. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. No wonder John sang the song tonight. No, come higher. Thank you, Farah. I'm glad you're sitting there. That's twice tonight you've done that. That's great. Thank you. She's making excuses for my age. But that's why he sang that song tonight, Come Higher. The Spirit of the Lord says, come higher. In Revelation, what does the Spirit of the Lord say? Come up here. What does Ephesians say? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated together with Him. So what is He saying? Come up higher. It doesn't matter how long we've walked or how long we've been on the road. Where are we in the economy of God? Where are we in the life of the Spirit? And the Spirit is constantly pleading with His people. Come on up here. I've got more for you. I'm going to read this scripture again. For though the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Can I transliterate that tonight and say 2017 is gone? Anything that happened in 2017 is finished with. It's done away with. It's gone. It's history. It's not going to do you any good to try and relive it. Because the rain is over and the winter is gone. And because that has happened, He says, rise up, my fair one. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And then He goes on and He says, oh, my dove, who are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Well, that word places shouldn't be there. It's a bad translation again. Oh, my dove, who are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret of the stairs. That's the access that you have in His presence. Come on then, somebody tell me, do we have access tonight? Yep. We have access by one Spirit into this, by the Spirit into the presence of the Father. So here's what He says in verse 15. Take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. Glory. You're on the way to a blossoming relationship. You're on the way to a great harvest. But the encouragement here for me is, don't let anything spoil your relationship. Do you know that God is more relational than He is doctrinal? I'm not doing away with doctrine. We need it. We need teaching. We need sure, sound doctrine. We need doctrine. I don't know why I've repeated myself three times. But God is more interested in your relationship. And He's more interested in developing a relationship than my data bank of information. Well, look where this led her then. She's had an initial born-again experience. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. And now she's had that infilling of the Holy Spirit brought into His banqueting house. And this is where it's brought her to. My beloved is mine. My beloved is mine, and I am His, and He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, the place of separation. See, God is not so much interested in separating you from something. He's more interested in separating you unto Him. And again, I'm going to say it again. God is more relational than He is doctrinal. That's why you understand this. Anyhow. Look at chapter 3. By night on my bed, I sought Him, whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek Him. whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? And it says in verse 4, this is so beautiful. It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I hailed him, and I would not let him go until I am brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of him who conceived me. Hallelujah. I found him. I hailed him. I will not let him go. In other words, will we keep seeking? Will we keep searching until we actually find him, to the place where I will allow nothing to break that relationship? Look at chapter 4. I love this chapter. Because here the relationship begins to change again. And you can give me a wave tonight. If the ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ has got deeper, and right throughout your whole relationship with the Lord has been one that has got deeper and deeper and deeper. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, we'll have an altar call. Look what he says here. This is Solomon now speaking, expressing his. You could take it. I have a heading in my Bible here. Solomon the bridegroom expressing his message of love. Let it go out, wash over you tonight. As you sit under the administration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, thou art fair. Thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Within thy locks, thy hair is like a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Look at verse 3. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. This is how he views her. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. Well, what would that speak to you tonight? Come on. Now through your relationship with the Lord, it's really altered our speech. Am I meddling, or am I teaching, or am I preaching? But what it would really say tonight, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. The scripture clearly says this: he who ordereth his conversation aright, will I show forth the salvation of God. In other words, for the completeness and the fullness of the salvation of God to be revealed is coming from a people who are speaking a pure language. And that pure language is the language of the Spirit. Come on, when Jesus was here, what was one thing that defined him? He only spoke what the Father said. But he said, my words are spirit and life. And every word I speak, because he waited on the Father, every word he spoke was spirit and life. My, wouldn't that revolutionize my life? Wouldn't that revolutionize the world? Wouldn't that revolutionize the church? Well, There's a tremendous promise in the book of Isaiah in relationship to this. And Isaiah wrote 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. So keep your marker there then and come with me to Isaiah. I'm going to read it rather than quote it. And I think it's Isaiah chapter 59. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 59. See, our conversation should be governed by the Spirit of God. Anything else will be disastrous. And Zechariah does talk about a people with a pure language. Revelation talks about a people before God. Before the throne of God, it talks about a people before the throne of God who are without fault. He says, I will present you blameless and faultless before the Father. And so this is what it says. Well, in verse 19 it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. And all the people of God said, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto those who turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And then in verse 21, this is what he says. As for me, the Lord Jesus, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, the Lord Jesus, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Come on, are you connecting with this tonight? As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, Jesus, and my words which I have put in Jesus' mouth, shall not depart out of his mouth, and it didn't. But there's a promise associated, not out of the mouth of thy seed. But surely tonight you must understand you're his seed. Then we have an example that we can follow in his steps. Then what's going to come out of our mouth? Spirit in life. That should be the goal. That should be the example that's set before us. And all I can say tonight is, Lord Jesus, help us. Because he said back in Song of Solomon chapter 4, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. She's communicating with him in the realm of the Spirit. Thy lips are a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. In other words, the pure speech and the pure language is coming out of a people that are in a covenant relationship. I better move on with this. Well, look what it says in verse 6. Until the daybreak. This is how it's going to be until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. And if the shadows flee away, guess what? You'll be in full light. I will go up to the mountains of Mur, anointed for burial, and to the hill of frankincense, in a life of prayer and worship and praise. And then look at verse 7. Amazing. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Hallelujah. Come on. I'll use myself. Is my relationship growing with the Lord that I'm in that place where I can hear the voice of God say, there is no spot in thee? Is it possible? Is it a reality? Is there going to be a church that's without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing? Yeah, I think Ephesians tells us that. And so he says, there is no spot in thee. How can I get myself to the place where I can walk on a daily basis, that I can hear the Spirit of God say, there is no spot in thee? Stay under your new covenant commitment. I'm going to say it again or I'm going home. Hallelujah. There is not one day goes by. I can use myself again. There is not one day goes by that I don't put myself before the Lord and I ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm in a blood covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not one day that that blood won't cleanse you. There is not one day when that efficacy of that blood is not sufficient to clean my life up. I would not come behind a pulpit unless I had done this. Can you hear him say to you tonight, there is no spot in thee? Well, let me read on then. Let me jump to verse 11. Well, now I have to read a couple of verses here. Look where this is led up to. Verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart. That's a pretty strong word. But it is a very beautiful word. When we understand that the bridegroom is saying to the bride tonight, stay under my covenant relationship where I can write my laws in your heart and in your mind and in your heart. Where I can keep you under the power of the blood. She says, thou hast ravished my heart. Now listen to this. My sister, my spouse. Whoa. That's better than the kisses of his mouth. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. In other words, what he's saying really here now, what is he saying here? He says, I am absolutely, totally separating you out from amongst the rest. You have ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Come on. Take me to a New Testament scripture tonight. Come on, you're all people of the Word. Take me to a New Testament scripture tonight that would explain this. You've ravished me with one of your eyes. Well, I'll give you a clue, Matthew. I'll give you another clue. Here we go. Hallelujah. Got the oil running. Hallelujah. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. That's an amazing scripture too. If your eye be single, it's a Greek word, haplos, and it means to be entwined like the twining of hair, putting hair into a braiding, entwined together. If your eye be entwined together with the purposes of God, your whole body will be full of light. And he goes on and he says this, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the fragrance of thine ointments and all spices? Oh man, Thy lips, O my spouse, drop like the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the scent of thy garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden enclosed. Oh, I love this. Hallelujah. When you come down to that place in your relationship, when he says you're a garden enclosed, is my sister my spouse? Come on, he's really telling her that we're getting prepared for marriage. You're my sister, my spouse, and you're a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. Come on, why would he want this spring shut up? Why would he want this relationship as a fountain sealed? Well, he doesn't want anything to get in there that would contaminate. There's nothing worse than contaminated water. And so he doesn't want anything that can get in there. And then thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. That's the fertility of the relationship. Spikenard, Salaphon. That's all the ingredients of the anointing which speaks to us of worship and prayer. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. That's the living waters that are coming out of you that Jesus spoke about. That out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Oh man, where am I going to go with this? Look what it says. This is the bride speaking in part of chapter 16, verse 16. Awake, O north wind. Come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices may blow out. Just let the wind of the Spirit blow. Let it completely come through the garden. And just let the spices, the fruit of the Spirit, let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. And look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. I am. Chapter 4, she's saying to him, come on into your garden. In chapter 5, he's saying, I am, come into my garden. And look at the expression, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spices. I have eaten the honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. Look at verse 2. It's in two parts. Look at the second part of it. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. And then he adds another word, my undefiled. Come on, saints. I don't know about you, but that's better than saying I'm black, but I'm comely. That's a long, long way down the track of a relationship and the growth of a relationship that's yielded itself to the hand of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. That's a far way down the road. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. You know what that word undefiled means? Perfect, complete, and finished. He's now speaking to her. He's now speaking to her as my sister, my spouse. And since he can't get married to anything less than himself, he's worked this work in her until she's relating again. My dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, pure doctrine, and my locks with drops of the night. So how does he see her? Perfect, complete, and finished. How does God see us? Well, let me jump into something else here. Let's jump into chapter 6. And it says in verse 1, "Whither has my beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither hast thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. Listen to this again. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine, and he feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Gosh, what words. What words. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Just let me remind you who's speaking here. It's important to know who's speaking in Song of Solomon. But this is a bridegroom praising his bride. "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." Right, wouldn't that be wonderful sometimes when we see one another, if we were just absolutely overcome by a look? Melted, softened, being able to be touched. In verse 9 again, he tells it again. "My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her who bore her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her." Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. I mean, that might not seem much at the just reading it, but who is she? She's the one that's perfect. She's the one that's complete. She's the one that's finished. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning, coming into a new day? The Hebrew word is shakar. And it ties in with 2 Peter 1:19. We're waiting for the day star to arise in our hearts. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun? Hallelujah. In other words, where's her light coming from? It's coming from him. Let me try and speed this up a little bit here. "I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Before I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Aminadab." And again, that might not mean so much, but here's what the Hebrew word means. It means my willing people. Come on, am I willing for this relationship to be deepened? Am I willing to see myself as He sees me? Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. The Shulamite means perfect and peaceful. Tie that into Psalm 110. What will we see in the Shulamite? Come on, what are we going to see in the Shulamite? Church of the living God. Church of the firstborn. Church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. What are we going to see in the Shulamite? This is amazing. What are we going to see in the Shulamite? The finished work. That's what I see in the Shulamite. Gives me great confidence that God's going to finish this work He started. What will we see? The finished work. What will we see? One, totally reconciled. Oh. Well, oh gosh, I don't want to go down a track. And you'll see the finished work, but you know what reconciliation really is? When you're reconciled to someone, there is absolutely nothing between. And when God reconciled you back to Himself through Jesus Christ, there was absolutely nothing between. That would take you into Colossians 1 verse 20. You were reconciled by the blood. And the night that you got reconciled by the blood, you were absolutely nothing between you and God. If there's anything there now, it's something that has to be confessed, repented of, done away with, and back in relationship through the blood of the eternal covenant. What will you see in the Shulamite? The finished work. And then once they begin to saw the finished work, look what it says in the other part of the scripture. As it were, the company of two armies. Oh gosh. A company of two armies. And this word for company here means the dance. So now, here is Solomon with this one that's undefiled, perfect, complete, and finished. Hallelujah. But now he's dancing. There's something about dancing. There's something really about dancing. That when you see two people really dancing together, there's a oneness there. There's just a connection. How many of us ever remember the two skaters, Dorval and I can't remember the other name, but it was Dorval and somebody else. But you know, every time we saw ice skating and these two people skating, all you could hear people saying is they're just one. And that's what this is right here. They're reconciled. Hallelujah. A company of, and you know where that word of takes you? That word of takes you right back to Genesis chapter 32 verse 2. That's where Jacob started off in his final wrestling with God until he got his name changed and reconciliation took place. I'm raising up a company that's going to be absolutely reconciled. Hallelujah. No wonder he could write chapter 7. And I'm going to try and finish here. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes. O prince's daughter. That takes you to Psalm 45. The king's daughter is all glorious within. You can read it there. Listen to this. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels. Man, that's a long way from I'm black but comely. I hope this tonight sets us on the course for 2018 in the pursuit of a deeper relationship with the Lord. Because your relationship with Him must grow from your initial baptism or your initial born-again experience. It must grow right through until He can see you and I without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. How beautiful are thy feet. That's your walk. Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 7 encourages us to walk in light, walk in love, walk circumspectly. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, and it's the work of the hands of a skillful workman. That's Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 4:16, Colossians 2:19. It also ties us into something so beautiful in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Remember, if a woman had been taken in adultery, what did they do? They gave her to drink of the bitter water. If her belly swelled, she was guilty. Hallelujah. But here she says this. It says she's faithful and she's free from all iniquity and she's gone in oneness and union with the Lord. Hallelujah. In other words, she's not an adulteress. She's not running around looking for other lovers. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. That's just the, it's the beauty of a vessel never defiled. In other words, it's a vessel that has never been used, misused. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat. That's Ruth chapter 3, about the lilies. Thy two breasts, in other words, she's got the sustenance within her to have something to give to the next generation. Thy neck is like a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon. By the gate of Rabban, thy nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which looketh towards Damascus. You'll notice what's seen here. Her neck, her eyes, her nose, her head. And it says that the neck is the will. So it's proving here that her will is submitted to His will. I have a short prayer these days. Here it is. Father, let thy will be my will. Let thy way be my way. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. And you know why I can really say that tonight? It's because God's thoughts were Jesus' thoughts. Jesus' ways were God's ways. And Jesus' will was the Father's will. Hallelujah. And the Bible clearly says that we have an example to follow. So if it was for Him, it has to be for us who are His seed. So the eyes, the neck is, the will is submitted. The eyes are the vision and our understanding being enlarged, enlightened. The nose is for discernment and have that discernment matured. The head is right thinking. And Carmel is a fruitful place. Here's what it says in verse 5. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. Listen to this. And the king is held in the tresses. Hallelujah. Now he's fully revealed. Come on. Again, flip over to the New Testament again. Where would I find a scripture that would depict this for me? The glory of the man is the woman. Hallelujah. And he is revealed in her. Can I read it for you again? Thine hand upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple, royalty. And the king is held in the tresses. The glory of the man is the woman, and he is fully revealed in her. How fair, how pleasant art thou, O love for delights. I will go to the palm tree. I will take hold of its boughs. Thy breast shall be like a cluster of the vine. New life is found there. And the fragrance of thy breath like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine. And then it goes on here. And you can see how it all has such an outcoming. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish. Whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth, there will I give my love. The mandrakes give. The fertility is there. The life is there. And then just let me go into chapter 8 and finish up here. Verse 3. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. The whole book is a book of touch the whole way through. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awakened thee under the apple tree. Set me as a seal upon thine heart. Many waters cannot quench love. Oh boy, I love that one. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be rejected. Many waters cannot quench love. Hallelujah. You'll find it in Isaiah 43:1. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the fire, they won't burn you. I gave Ethiopia and Egypt for you. When you go to Romans chapter 8, you'll find it there. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trial, can tribulation? Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Trial, tribulation, pestilence, demonic realm. Verse 13. Thou who dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved. This is the affectionate response and the anticipation of the bride. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. Hallelujah. So she goes from chapter 1. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Touch. To chapter 2. His banner over me is love. And he's taken me into his chambers. Touch. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Touch. Hallelujah. I believe the power of touch is going to be so important to get us from our initial born-again experience into the completion of the marriage. Hallelujah. No wonder the songwriter wrote, touch your people once again. No wonder the old songwriter wrote, I was shackled by a heavy burden. I was under a load of guilt and shame till the hand of Jesus touched me. But now, I am no longer the same. You know, God wants to continually touch us. And every time he touches us, it's a deepening of our relationship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. I only have to be walking down the road and take Kathy's hand. And I know that there's a connection there, just by touch. Hallelujah. I can hear her coughing sometimes so badly. All I have to do is go and lay my hand on her. Touch. And you know, God wants to touch us. I believe it with all my heart.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. And I believe that 2018 could be the greatest growth and development in the body of Christ.
Yes.
When we just allow God to touch us. Touch me, Lord. Touch me. Come on, when we consider tonight, this man had 700 wives. He had concubines. He had queens. He had virgins without number. But there was one that got all of his attention. Hallelujah. And in the growth and the development, he came to the place, my sister, my spouse. Saw her as already chosen. Glory to God. Saw her as already being undefiled, perfect, complete, and finished. May 2018 be a year just like that. When we begin to see God, and we begin to understand and live as He sees us. You know how He sees you? Exactly how John Henson expresses it. I see you perfect in Christ, but I'm not yet perfect. You know what? You know what God does? He's so gracious to us. And what He really does is He allows you and me, and I might have said it before, but He allows you and me to live in the age to come while we're waiting for the age to come. I'm going to say it again and I'll sit down. God allows you and me, because the age to come is not given into the hand of angels, but what is man that thou art mindful of him? And so He allows you and I to actually live right now in this day. He allows you and I to live in the age to come while I am waiting for the age to come. Hallelujah. He allows you to live in the kingdom and all the kingdom privileges and benefits. That's why He wrote Matthew chapter 5 and 6, the constitution of the kingdom. And He allows you to live in it while you're waiting for the fullness of it. Can I ask you something tonight? And I'll promise you I'm going to sit down. When you were born again, what were you born again into? The church or the kingdom? You were born into the kingdom. Therefore, you have kingdom constitution to live by. If I'm not living there, I'm living short of my privilege. Tom Roseward. And God wants us to be recovered, restored, redeemed, and reconciled. Hallelujah. And it's going to be, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But don't get disillusioned because it hasn't already happened. Just start living in where you're supposed to live. Hallelujah. And let God arise and let our enemies be scattered.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. May this incoming year be a year of release like never before. A year of the release of God in opening our understanding to what He really has for us. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you right now, He's got a lot more for me than what I'm living in. And He's got a lot more for the church if we'll only press in. Hallelujah. And let that relationship deepen. Because as it deepens with Him, it won't be hard to have it deepened with one another. May the Lord bless you. Keep you, build you up, strengthen you. grant you understanding and wisdom.